Before we get into reading God's Word, let's all stand in respect of God's Word. We'll read verses 1 and 2 of John, 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne of grace and mercy this hour, Lord, asking that You would reveal Your truth to us. Help us to understand how great and awesome and wonderful You are, that our hearts would be filled with praise and adoration for the things that You've bestowed upon us, for all the marvelous works of grace that You've poured out upon us, Lord. And Father, we acknowledge that we don't truly understand them now. We don't comprehend the great love that You have bestowed upon us. And Lord, as we look into Your Word this hour, we just ask that You reveal Yourself to us for Your glory and for Your honor. We pray if there be any here tonight that do not know You as their Lord and Savior, that You would reveal Yourself to them in a way that they would be saved, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Really enjoyed the song the choir sang. It's going to go right along with the topic of our sermon this evening. Jesus Christ, our advocate and our propitiation. As we get into looking at it, I want to share with you some of the definitions of these words. If you're like me, there's sometimes words that we use that I don't fully grasp the meaning of. And it's good to get out in a dictionary and look up the meaning of some of these words so you can appreciate what these words mean. John begins, he says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." It is a huge motivation to us that we do not sin when we realize what Christ has done for us and is doing for us. He's not writing these things that they would be willing to continue on in sin because they have an excuse. He is showing them what Christ is doing on our behalf to open our eyes to the great wickedness of sin and encourage us not to. And he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate. I like Webster's 1828 edition dictionary. It's got some good definitions in there. Now I want to share with you the definition of an advocate. One of the meanings of advocate is, in its primary sense, signifies one who pleads the cause of another in a court of civil law. Another meaning of it is one who pleads the cause of another before a tribunal or judicial court, as in barrister in the English courts. We say a man is a learned lawyer and an able advocate. One who pleads the cause. Brother and I submit to you that this is an awesome, wonderful thought. I've always liked when people stood up for me. You know, in life, I mean, you've had friends that have maybe stood up for you in different circumstances. It came to your aid when you needed help. And we've appreciated those people. And we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. To imagine, And I have trouble when I begin to think about this, what the words is really saying here. I have trouble wrapping my mind around the concept that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, even knows my name.
Amen.
Let alone is interested in my case. Let alone is willing to mention me on my behalf.
Amen.
An advocate. Oh, what an awesome concept.
Amen.
Another meaning of it says, one who defends, vindicates, or espouses a cause by argument, one who is friendly to, as an advocate for peace or for the oppressed. An advocate. Oh, what a mighty advocate we have. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we're going to share several parts of in Romans chapter 8, but the last part is what we want to focus on at this time. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God." Picture this. Let this sink in. Who is even at the right hand of God. My boys, they like the movie Cars. And I don't know if you all have ever seen the cartoon Cars. If you've got kids, you've seen it. And I'll share one little part of it. There's a little car in there that's so excited because the big star knows his name. His name's written on his license plate right in front of the car, but that's how the big star knows his name. But he's so excited, he says, "He knows my name! He knows my name!" Before the throne of God, you are being brought up.
Amen.
And He is making intercession on your behalf.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
How great is our God.
Amen.
How great is our Lord.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, when we get a hold of this and we realize that this is our Lord, He is before the throne of God and He is making intercession on our behalf. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus."
Amen.
The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
How does this apply to us in regards to some false teaching? And I really want to, well, this evening we'll try to deal with applying this to false teaching that goes on around the world today, and even creeps into Sovereign Grace churches. My mother-in-law, she shared with us the other day that there was a woman in her church, and she said that they got around talking, and they were stunned by what her comment was. She said that, you know, she didn't see anything wrong with praying to Mary or praying to the saints, to the apostles. How many mediators do we have? One. Who else do you want to plead your case before God? These doctrines that are taught, these practices that people get involved in, this is my favorite angel. This is my favorite saint. I want to pray to this saint. Do you know who they attack? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are doctrines of devils and they attack the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is one mediator and that alone. And why would you want anyone else?
Amen.
Who did Mary die for? No one.
Amen.
Who did any of the apostles die for? No one. You have one mediator. Why would you try to replace him?
Amen.
Why would you seek for anything else?
Right. Amen.
If people could get a hold of this, they would realize what their actions are doing. Hebrews 9, verse 24, I'll share this verse with you. Hebrews 9, verse 24. This is, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us."
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
I don't want anybody else to appear in the presence of God on my behalf.
Amen.
And I know that Jesus Christ loves me enough that I don't need to pray to Mary to try to convince Him to do something good for me. He has given His life for me. He has given me all that I need. In Christ, I have my completion. And I don't need anybody to intercede on my behalf for Christ. No one cares for me like Christ does.
Amen.
Oh, if they could just see our Lord, they would have no desire to pray to anyone else. One mediator. The next part of what I want to focus on is in verse 2 of our text, back in 1 John. So John says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation for our sins. Once again, I went to Webster's Dictionary to get a good definition of this. This is the act of appeasing wrath and the conciliation and conciliating the favor of an offended person. The act of making propitious. Propitious means disposed to be gracious or merciful, ready to forgive sins and bestow blessings. He is our propitiation of our sins, for our sins. Webster also gave the definition in regards to this. It says, in theology, it means the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His wrath and render Him propitious to sinners.
Amen.
Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Who God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness.
Amen.
That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen.
He is our propitiation. He is our sacrifice that has been given on behalf of our sins, to appease the wrath of God, so that God could bestow His mercy and His grace upon us. This concept is missed by so many professed Christians today. I know that so many people say, I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But they do not realize what He accomplished.
Amen.
He accomplished exactly what He set out to do when He died on the cross.
Right.
He is our propitiation. He has taken the sins of His people and has satisfied all the law demand on them in regards to their sins.
Amen.
He satisfied it. He has made God propitious to us that He is able to bestow His mercy and His grace upon us.
Amen.
This concept, and we'll get into in just a minute of how they misuse this, but this concept is not embraced by modern Christianity today in the truth of it. There is an outward exterior form in which people say, yes, I believe that. But they do not believe in a finished work on the cross. A finished work. I've heard, and we'll start to build on this to see where we're going. I've heard people say that I gave my life to the Lord at this day, at this time. And we adopt these phrases. You hear certain Christian phrases that we adopt all the time. And we sometimes have an idea, a false concept, that when you give your life to the Lord, what did you give? I witnessed to a man one time, and he had this idea of his life. He said, I would make a good... I would be of good benefit to the church because I'm so outgoing. If I became a Christian, I'd have a lot to offer. And a lot of people think that when it comes to salvation experiences, or when it's time to get saved, that it's a matter of giving what God wants. He wants your life, and I'm going to give my life to the Lord. What good is your life?
Amen.
The Bible teaches that you were dead in trespasses and sin.
Amen.
You were completely and utterly ruined.
Amen.
A while back, we were leaving a job site, and we had to cross through some people's yard. It was a gravel driveway, and they had a lot of dogs. Little, I don't remember what kind of breeds of dogs they were. Well, one of them ran right out in front of our work truck. He didn't make it. I'll just say that. Well, to make things right, my boss offered to pay for the dog. And the guy said, I want $1,000 for the dog. And he had to say, well, really, what do you think is a fair price? And the guy said, $500. So my boss paid $500. And we joke about that. Because when we drive by there, he was driving by there with his family. They'd never owned a pet before. And he's like, kid, you want to go see our dead dog I bought? It's worthless.
That's right.
It's worth. You have nothing to offer.
You're right.
Amen.
You have nothing to offer to God. I gave a worthless life to God. When we come to a place to begin to discuss it and put our minds and wrap our hearts around this concept, we realize that there is nothing to offer that we have to God.
Amen.
We need somebody else to offer something on our behalf.
Amen.
We are completely and utterly dependent on somebody else to be our propitiation.
Amen.
Because we couldn't do it.
Amen.
We couldn't begin to do it. We couldn't start to do it. Christ did it all.
Amen.
He did it all from beginning to end. And we had no part in it. No part in it. We were dead. We were dead. And time, God opens our eyes to see what He's done for us. You know how He did that? Through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And when we heard the gospel preached, and the Holy Spirit quickened us and made us alive, and for the first time God bestowed upon us the grace of faith so that we could, for the very first time, understand and believe what Jesus Christ had accomplished for us on the cross.
Amen.
Faith doesn't earn it. It's how God shows us what He's done.
Amen.
It's through faith that we are saved. Through faith. He is our propitiation.
Amen.
And He accomplished it. He accomplished it. The false teaching that goes on today in the world, it takes this passage, and then we'll read the second part of it. And if you can understand what I've been taking and building on, that Jesus Christ is our propitiation. That means He offered His life, He took our sins, placed them upon us, upon Himself, and died in our stead. And He rose victorious over the grave and conquered our sins. And that's what He accomplished. And the next part, it says, says, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What does that mean? You see, this is where many Christians come to a huge debate. They want to apply this passage here to every individual particularly. But we've already been talking about Jesus Christ as our advocate. If He's our advocate and He's our propitiation, does He fail?
No.
Does He fail as He is standing in the throne of grace making intercession for us? Does God say, okay, I hear you, but guess what? It just doesn't apply to that individual. He just won't accept it. I understand you died on the cross for their sins. I understand you gave your life for them and you're interceding on their behalf, but I just can't accept it because they haven't prayed the prayer. Is that not logic? Is that illogical? Is that the foundation that John is building upon? He's saying we have an advocate.
Amen.
We have Jesus Christ that's entered into the Holy of Holies and He's interceding on our behalf. And He is, not only that, He's our propitiation.
Amen.
He's atoned for all our sins.
Amen.
And we go back to Romans, as I said we would, chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, who is he that condemneth? The whole condemnation is based upon the very fact he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. How can anyone be condemned when Jesus Christ died for their sins? How? It says, yea, rather that is risen again, and even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
There's none that condemn.
Right. Amen.
Get a hold of that. Oh, what joy.
Amen.
Oh, what peace. Oh, what comfort. If you understand this very basic concept that is taught in Scripture, try to then teach that you lose your salvation. Try to teach it. Try to teach that He died for every individual, particularly for their sins, and say, well, what, that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Brethren, what we see that is going on in Christianity today is the lack of teaching and sound discipleship.
Amen.
Statistically, they say 75% of all Christian children, they enter the universities, abandon their faith. They weren't taught. They weren't taught. Our churches need to be involved in expounding the Scriptures.
Amen.
Expounding the Scriptures. We have a lot of churches represented here tonight, and churches need to be expounding, going beyond just the milk and getting into the meat of the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's really hard to do when people only show up on Sunday morning. But we need to be involved in that.
Amen.
But it doesn't stop there. It needs to go on to the home. And the home needs to be the basis where mothers and fathers get their children together and teach them what God's Word means.
Amen.
They're not being taught.
My
wife, she talks about her grandmother. And she'd get the kids around, all the grandkids around, and they loved hearing her tell Bible stories. Not stories of Thomas the Train, but Bible stories.
Amen.
And she'd tell them from memory. And she could put such dramatic input into them, and they loved, the kids loved it. The stories of God's Word are precious and wonderful. They need to know. They need to know. I had a friend that was in Russia that he was taught that you could lose your salvation. And he shared with me, he said, every time I came to a road, he said, I was worried. I might have sinned, and if I cross the road, I can get hit by a car and die. And he was in fear. He was in torment. I don't know how many people in the Church of Christ that have been taught this false concept that are in torment.
That's right.
In fear.
That's right. Amen.
How many people cannot grasp God working in their life and in complete control and have utter peace in the sovereignty of God because they're not taught about it.
Amen.
Brethren, when we get into God's Word and we go verse by verse and we expound and say, this is what this means, and people understand it by the grace of God, it will take care of false teaching. It'll weed it out because it just doesn't make sense. And I pray that if you're here tonight and you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ as your propitiation, you've never put your faith and trust that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, He did for you, and you by faith believe that and trust that. I was raised in a Christian home my entire life. I went to church more than many people because my father was a missionary. But I was 16 when the Lord saved me. And I can tell you what that day was like. The first time my eyes were open to believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I knew He died on the cross. I knew He died for sinners. But I didn't believe He died for me until that very night.
Amen.
If you don't know that, we want to point you to Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
He is gracious and merciful. And He says, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and He will give you rest.
Amen.
Our Lord is able to save.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.